And so tonight we will continue with a couple of parables, a very, very short parable, so I thought we would maybe try and have a look at both of them. Very brief parables, maybe one of them you would hardly think as being a parable that's so short, but it is a parable in the true sense of it. Two parables that are found in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6, and the first one begins in verse 43, and we'll read through both of these parables together, please. So the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is speaking here in Luke chapter 6, and in verse 43, the Lord Jesus Christ says this: "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And we do look to the Lord for help as we think about these parables together. So two very short parables that the Gospel writer Luke brings together for us, and he runs them together, and in many ways these two parables are linked, and we'll want to think about them tonight. Just, of course, by way of introduction, we notice the first parable there, the first three verses, verse 43 to verse 45, and in the first parable, we're thinking about two trees. And the thing that the Lord Jesus Christ draws our attention to in these two trees — there are many things he could have said about trees, but there's a particular thought here in those three verses in this parable. As he speaks to us about trees, he's thinking, of course, about the fruit. The fruit. That is what is to the foremost in his mind there. So we're going to think, first of all, about trees and the fruit. It's very simple tonight. Nothing difficult at all. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, when he spoke these parables, he was really trying to explain things, as often he was, and when we're preaching the gospel message, we ought to really be simple, just like the Saviour was. And so these things are very straightforward, they're very simple, they're very ordinary, so we make no apology for that. So we notice, first of all, in the first parable, we're thinking about trees, and we're thinking about the fruit. And then in the second parable, you'll notice again, something very ordinary, something very usual, verses 46 to 49, we're thinking about two houses. So the first parable, two trees, and the second parable, two houses. And just as the Saviour, in the first parable, thought about the trees and the fruit, he is going to think about the house and its foundation. And so these two parables, the parable of the tree and its fruit, and the parable of the house and its foundation. And we'll think about these together, God willing. So if we have a look at that first parable then, verse 43 to 45, if you have your Bibles open, and you'll notice some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ says in this parable. Some very simple things, but we do well just to underline them before we think about what the Saviour is teaching. I'm looking down there at verse 43, and if you have your Bible, you might want just to follow it. Now draw your attention to this, please. In verse 43, and in verse 44 as well actually, but verse 43 first of all, the Saviour speaks there, you notice, about two kinds of trees. Did you notice that? He speaks about a good tree, and he speaks about a corrupt tree. So there's a good tree, and there's a corrupt tree. He speaks about two trees. And then, secondly, you'll notice as well in verse 43, not only does he speak about two trees, but he speaks about two fruits. And you'll see the same things are said of them. There's the good fruit, and there's the corrupt fruit. So two fruits and two trees, very simple. But the important thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing our attention to is this in the parable, that you'll notice that the fruit corresponds to the tree. That's the important thing in the parable. It's very simple. It's hard to make it any more simple, but there it is, and it's very important, and we just underline it. The good fruit, says the Saviour, comes from the good tree, and the corrupt fruit comes from the corrupt tree. So the fruit corresponds to the tree. And in verse 43, we're thinking there about the quality of the fruit. It doesn't matter so much what it is. The Saviour's not so much interested in the details as to whether it's a banana or an orange or an apple, but the Saviour is telling us this. Irrespective of what fruit it might be, there are two things we could say about it. It is either going to be corrupt or it's going to be good, and if it's a corrupt fruit, it comes from a corrupt tree, and if it's a good fruit, it comes from a good tree. So you notice the point the Saviour is making, that the fruit corresponds to the tree. Now in verse 44, the Saviour is going to tell us something else. Just a slightly different thought in this parable. And you'll notice here that the Saviour goes on, and he's thinking now just a little bit about what type of fruit, or what category of fruit it might be that's coming from these trees. Verse 44, for every tree is known by his own fruit. In other words, if you were to go along there to the fruit ball in our kitchen table back up at the house, we've just been to Tesco's, and you would see, of course, that there's a variety of fruit in that fruit bowl. There's peaches there. They're too hard for the boys at the moment, so there's still a few peaches left in the fruit bowl, and there's some oranges and there's some apples. And each of those different kinds of fruit, they correspond to their own tree. And so says the Saviour in verse 44, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. So you would get figs from a fig tree, and you would get grapes, of course, from a vine. And each of the fruits, the point is the same, each of the fruits corresponds to the tree. And so the point there is very simple. You do notice too, though, in verse 44, that whilst the Lord Jesus Christ has started this parable by talking about the good and the corrupt, you notice that there's maybe another thought there in this parable in verse 44, for it's almost as if he takes out two categories of fruit, and you'll notice there that there are things that men cultivate. There are things that men look after. And then there are things there in that verse that are wild. Did you notice that? Verse 44, he speaks about the thorns. They would be wild. And then he speaks about the figs. That's something that people grow, that's cultivated, that's looked after. And then the Saviour speaks about the bramble bush. You know, that we've got a bit of a bramble growing along the back of our garden. We never planted it there. It just kind of appeared from somewhere. It wasn't cultivated, it was wild. And so here's that wild fruit again. But then there's the grapes. We don't have any free-range grapes down in the manse, you know. You would have to grow them carefully and cultivate them and look after them, maybe in a greenhouse in our country. And so, I know, just to underline what the Saviour's saying there. Verse 33, we've got the two qualities of fruit. There's the good, and there's the corrupt. And then in verse 44, there's the two characters of fruit, if you like. There's the wild, and there's the cultivated. So that's the parable. And we're fortunate again in this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to interpret for us, so you don't have to rely on me. Verse 45. Here's the interpretation. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So the lesson the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us from the tree and the fruit is this, that the fruit corresponds to the tree. So now he has a look with us at our hearts. He has a look at men. And in verse 45, you'll read about good fruit, and you'll read about evil fruit. And you'll read about a good heart, and you'll read about an evil heart. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying this. He's saying, listen, if you look at a human life, whether it be your life or somebody else's life, and you look at the product of that life, you look at the things that are said, that in particular, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ underlines for us there in verse 45. If you look at the things that are said by that person, or if you look at the actions that are committed by that person, then the fruit of that life, the fruit of that life corresponds to the heart. Now that's an incredibly important thing. And that little parable, you know, and the truth that is taught in that little parable, it underpins everything that the Lord Jesus Christ taught and preached whilst he was here on earth. You see, there were men in the day that the Lord Jesus Christ lived here. They were called Pharisees. And the Pharisees were religious people, a bit like the religious people of our day. And they taught this. They taught that all people did things that were wrong. That was right. So they did. And they said, listen, if you are going to be right with God, what you need to do is change the things that you're doing. You need to try a bit harder. What you need to do, said the Pharisees, is you need to keep rules and regulations. You need to start going to church. You need to start obeying the laws. You need to try harder. But you see, the Saviour's message was completely different from the message of religious people. But what the Saviour taught was this, that if I look at the outside of my life, and I see in that life that there are faults and there are failings and there are sins, then there is no point in dealing with the outside. For the outside is just a product of the inside, and if I'm going to be right with God, then the inside has to be changed. You see, the things that I do, the failures that are part and parcel of my life, they are really just a product of that heart. And the real problem with the human condition is this, it is a problem of the heart. And it is only when the heart is changed, it is only when the heart is dealt with, that the person can be put right. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be clear about this, the Lord Jesus Christ never ever preached religion. What the Lord Jesus Christ preached was this. He preached regeneration. The Lord Jesus Christ preached repentance. He preached that men and women like you and me must repent. We must be sorry of our sin. And we must turn to Christ. And we must ask for salvation. And he will perform in our lives regeneration. You see, what is regeneration? Regeneration is when a sovereign God, is when an almighty God takes hold of a broken life and he makes it anew. Says the word of God, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is made a new creature. Old things are passed away and behold, all things are made anew. In other words, if I'm going to be right with God, God has to deal with my heart. There's no point in trying to clean out the outside, or clean up the outside, or to try a bit harder. The problem lies in the heart. You know, the word of God says this about my heart. It says, you know, that the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things. God's verdict of my heart. That heart that is in me, it would deceive me. It would deceive me between the difference between right and wrong. It would deceive me that everything's all right in my life. It would deceive me that when I die, I'm ready to meet God. It would deceive me that really, compared to everybody else, and you come like, I'm actually doing not too bad. It would deceive me that really the things that are wrong in my life are minor little details, and God would hardly bother about them. That heart inside me, that deceitful heart, you know, it would give me two standards. It would give me a standard that I would apply to myself and pass all of the time, and another standard that I would apply to other folks. And says the word of God, says God about my heart, Stuart, your heart, it's deceitful above all things, exceedingly wicked. Over the last 10 and 20 years in our own country, we've begun to see, I think, you know, something of the exceeding wickedness of the human heart, haven't we? You know, Sam came in the other day, and we had been away on holiday for a week up at Pitlochry, and he'd been playing on his bike and up there, and he came in and he said, Daddy, how far can I go on my bike? You know, I said, you can go down so far, you know, down to the gate and come back, you know. You worry about your children, don't you, these days? I remember when I was a wee boy, not that long ago, 10 years ago or so, when I was a wee boy playing on my bike, you know, my mother would let us out all day playing on their bike, and they never think anything of it. Different world that we're living, isn't it? Deceitful heart of man, exceedingly wicked, and the kind of crimes that are being committed today as commonplace. Product of a corrupt and exceedingly wicked heart. Well, says the Saviour, in this first parable, listen. If you're going to get things right with God, religion is no use. Religion is no use. There's no point in trying to spruce yourself up a wee bit. No point in trying to deal with the things that you're doing, trying to try a wee bit harder. This is no self-improvement plan. This is no religion that Christ is teaching. Listen, the real problem with the human condition is this, and it lies in the heart. And as you see the sin on the outside, the reason that there is sin on the outside, the reason that the fruit is corrupt, the reason that the fruit is wild, is because the heart is wild, untamed by God. It's because that the heart is corrupt, corrupted by sin. And if you're going to be right with God, it won't be a case of religion. It's going to have to be a regeneration. When an almighty God comes and he takes a broken man or woman and he makes them anew in Christ. And so, in the first parable, the Lord Jesus there speaks about the tree and his fruit. But you'll notice in the second parable there, we're thinking not so much about the tree and its fruit, but you notice that we're thinking now about the buildings and its foundation. Very important that, isn't it? Very important. There wouldn't be much point in having a fruit tree that didn't bear fruit, and so it is the case, of course, with a building. You need to be very careful about its foundation. You know, we used to go to a gospel hall down in Lanarkshire, I did before I was married, and many years ago when that hall was built, it had been built in an old clay pit, and there had been a wee bit of dodgy dealing done way back in the 1940s and 50s, and they pulled a fast one, and instead of laying the foundation and digging out all of the clay and putting in concrete, they just levelled the surface off and they built the hall on the top of it. And it soon became apparent that there was no solid foundation there. It didn't take any great disaster or any great earthquake to bring out the fact there was no foundation. Just over the period of time, the cracks began to appear, and the thing eventually would have fallen down if it hadn't been pulled out. So as important as the fruit is to the tree, the foundation is to the house. And you'll notice there, verses 46 to 49, you'll notice there that the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks about two houses. And he speaks about two men, and he speaks about two foundations. And he speaks too about two disasters, this parable of the house and the foundation. Now you'll notice there, verse 48, when the Saviour speaks about the first house, and he speaks there about the first man, and he's laying the foundation of his house. And here's the first man, verse 48. He's like a man which built a house, and he dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So we notice the first man. The first man, he's going to dig deep. He's going to dig down until he hits a rock, and upon that rock he's going to build the foundation of his home. And that means that house that is built upon the rock can withstand, did you notice what it withstands? It withstands, first of all, verse 48, the stream, and it also is able to withstand the flood. So here is a house built soundly upon a firm foundation, dug right the way down, founded upon the rock, and so it's able to cope with the stream, and it's able to cope with the flood. But the second man, what does he do? Well, verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So the second house is different. The man builds his house, and instead of digging down and building a firm foundation, he just levels the surface off, and he builds it upon the earth. Now, it would have been the case, you know, that at the beginning, Maybe when he came to sell it, I don't know if he sold it. Maybe at the beginning, everything would have looked the same between those two houses. If you had come out and you had come out to buy those two houses, they would probably have had the same price tag on them. And to the surface, everything would have seemed fine. But did you notice what it was that brought out the difference in those two houses? It was when the difficulties came, the problems came, the trials came. The first house was waterproof, and it was floodproof, because it was built on the rock. The second one began to get a bit shaky with the stream. It wasn't floodproof, it wasn't even streamproof. You know, let me say this. We're jumping ahead a wee bit here of the interpretation. But let me say this. The person who is not a Christian will be able to cope with the good times in life as well as the person who is a Christian. When everything is going fine in life, the Christian will cope with that and so will the non-Christian. But listen, it's only when the difficulties come, and it's only when the problems come, it's only when the water begins to rush in, and in the case of the first house, when the flood hits it, it's only when the difficulties and the problems hit that we can really tell the difference between what is real and what isn't. It is only when the problems and the trials of life come, when the challenges of life come, and when God really puts our life to the test, that we really begin to see the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. It's only when we begin to be faced with the realities of life, when we begin to perhaps to be faced for the first time with death, when the things that we enjoyed in life begin to be removed from us, and all of the things that we really enjoyed and that made our life happy are taken away, and it's just us that are left in God, that's when we see who's real and who's false. You say, Stuart, I suppose then it must be pretty important that I build my house upon the rock. It is. You say, how is it that I might be able to build my house upon the rock? Well, the Saviour tells me. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. You say, Stuart, how is it that my life might be ready to meet the problems and the difficulties of life? How is it that my life might be ready to be able to deal with the really big things, the really important things, not just the nice family things that we have on a day-to-day basis, not just the holidays and the pleasant times and the entertainment and the leisure time, but when real problems begin to strike, and we go along to the surgery and we get the test result back, and the doctor shakes his head and says, I'm sorry, it's a tumour. Or when we lose someone really close to us, or when the first time it really hits home and it dawns upon us that we're mortal and one day we'll meet God, how is it that I can be prepared for that? Says Christ, three things. Number one, come to me. Verse number 47. Whosoever cometh to me. Number two, and heareth my sayings. We come to Christ, we hear his word, and thirdly, and doeth them. We accept what he says. Now it goes without saying, you know, and it's there in the parable, that if we're going to hit rock, we're going to have to dig deep. A lot of surface soil there, you know. A lot of topsoil. And then there's a bit of harder stuff underneath. And you're going to have to dig deep, you know, before you hit the rock. Not an easy thing to get down to the rock. That's why the second man never bothered, you see. Too much what hard luck. But if you're going to hit rock, it's going to take sacrifice. And it's going to take sincerity. And you're going to have to be real about it. And you're going to have to be sincere about it. But here is how you might dig down. And you might hit rock. You might hit something that is going to see you through time right the way into eternity. Says Christ, number one, come to me. Now the Saviour's made a promise. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, there is only one person that is able to make me ready for God. There is only one person, only one name, says the word of God, under heaven, given amongst men, whereby I must be saved. Only one person who is able to save me from my sin, who is able to forgive my sin, for there is only one person who died on the cross for me, that's Christ. So there is no point. There is no point in coming to the preacher or to the church, says Christ. Come to me, come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Says Christ, if you want to be built upon that rock, if you want something solid and sin for eternity, you'll only get it from me. Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. You know the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to this earth with a purpose. He came that he might die at the cross of Calvary. And he came with a message. And his message was this: repent, or ye shall all likewise perish. His message was this: believe. Believe on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. Says the Saviour in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to be saved? You want to be right with God? You want your sins forgiven? You'll only find it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it was only him who died for your sins. So the Saviour then, he would speak to us about the tree and its fruit. And he would speak to us about the house and its foundation. The Saviour would tell me this: listen, Stuart, the problem with your life isn't on the outside, it's on the heart. And if you're going to be saved, there's no point in making do with religion. There's no point in trying harder. You're going to have to come to me, for it is only Christ that can make you a new creature. You remember what he said. You remember what he said there in John chapter 3 to that man Nicodemus, a man steeped in religion, a man that was trying his very best to be right with God. You know, the Saviour just took away all of his religion just in one sweep. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Listen, Nicodemus, all of this religion business, all very nice, but it'll not see you saved. The person has to be changed, born again. And so the Saviour, he would speak to me here in that first parable about the tree and the fruit. And his message is this: if you're going to be right with God, the heart has to be changed. And secondly, he speaks to us here about the house and its foundation. What is it that you're resting upon? What are you relying upon? Only the rock will do. Not so much just for the pleasant ordinary things in life, but only the rock will do when we're faced with the realities of eternity and the reality of God. Only the rock, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to see me through into eternity. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do come before thee, we do give thanks for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, too, for these few thoughts that we've shared tonight. We ask, our Father, that if anyone here does not know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, that tonight they might come to know him, come to know his life eternal. We do thank thee, our Father, for one who is able to change the very character of our heart. And we thank thee, our Father, for one upon whom we can be rested and founded for eternity. Bless us, we pray, our Father, as we part. And we return thanks now for our Saviour, Jesus' name.